cliffcentral.com. The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous on cliffcentral.com.
And good morning, good morning to you. This is The Unview here on cliffcentral.com, and it's really good to be here on the show this Thursday.
It is. It's a beautiful Thursday, as Thursdays go, I must say.
I know. It's lovely because I can hear myself. Sorry, I couldn't hear myself.
I couldn't hear you.
It's terrible when you can't hear yourself.
I wonder if anyone else heard you and then they just heard me say it was a beautiful Thursday.
It's called the magic of the technos that happened, the gremlins in the systems.
You know, your catchphrase has put me on a diet.
I know.
Yeah.
Is it? How's it going?
It's
you
hard.
You got a cute little roll. I mean, I'd go with it.
No, yeah, no. I'd bounce it.
No,
I can't button up my suits anymore. So,
and then you wear a suit.
Every Thursday now.
Yeah, do all the swing.
The thin, the rich, and the fabulous. And then I'm like, oh, jeepers, maybe we should live up to that, hey?
Yeah, maybe we should.
My co-host Nathan Rose in studio with me. Ah, the insane man. I've got a few surprises for you later, and for Ilza.
I have a surprise for you also.
Have you? Oh, I love surprises. Yeah. Hercules. My name is Alan Ford, and this is The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous on cliffcentral.com. And it's obviously magic being with you. And we have a very special guest in studio, because not only is she one of the best singers and one of the best actresses, but I mean, the awards and the accolades are just coming your way. You won the Fiestas.
That's right.
Best Actress. You're nominated for a Fleur de Cup.
That is correct.
I mean,
I must have done something.
Ilza,
hey.
Klink, you're unstoppable. Unstoppable.
I love the Fleur de Cup. It sounds like a beautiful bottle of wine.
It is a beautiful bottle of wine, but it is the top theatre.
Oh, that will explain why it sounds like that.
And it's happening this week, which I tell you what, this is exactly what you see. This is how we direct a show in studios, because
Start with wine.
On the line, no. Can't have wine. We'll have wine on Sunday.
Yeah. Right.
You're going to be at the awards, obviously.
I am.
Well, on the line, we've got a very, very special Capetonian and South African, a top radio presenter. He's also the judge of the Fleur de Cups, and he's the presenter this year.
Oh, right.
With Brendan Van Rain, Cathay Pacific. And that's Africa Milani. Africa, welcome to the show.
Wow.
Very good morning to you, Alan and Nathan. I did hear you say that it is a special Thursday. And Ilza Klink, congratulations on another well-deserved nomination.
Thank you so much, Africa.
Well, Africa, this is what it's about. I mean, it is the Fleur de Cups. This is, you know, when you look at the awards and you look at the theatre awards in South Africa, it is so important to recognise this phenomenal artistry, this genre called theatre, whether it's drama, whether it's musicals. And often we're very quick to give out the soap awards, and we're very quick to give out the Mrs. A type of things, but we forget that this is really hard work to put on these productions.
I imagine so. I'm lucky enough. I have an accounting background and I'm a broadcaster, and I get to see 86 productions, which is the number of productions we saw in 2016, and get to see the likes of Ilza really pouring their heart and soul out on stage absolutely every night. And we're privileged in that way. The city of, 4 million people, Cape Town? Mm. It is the second city behind Johannesburg as far as economy and money is concerned. And yet we're able to put out on a yearly basis an extraordinary number of productions. And you're right, Alan. This is a genre that should be celebrated. And I think the Fleur de Cup Theatre Awards are just one way of saying to the theatre industry, you've had a phenomenal year. 2016 was a hard year by all accounts, but you still managed to put out this beautiful body of work. Come, over a glass of wine, let's celebrate the best of the best.
And again, I say this because it is very important to nominate or to mention the sponsors, because without the money, we can't do these things. Mm. And I know with the Naledi Awards in Johannesburg, it's a big battle for Dawn and Des Lindberg every year to try and get the sponsorship. So caps off to the Fleur de Cup wine estate for sponsoring this. A couple of other things. So how do you judge the awards? This is not easy. 86 productions. That's it. It's 86 nights of your life, literally, that you've got to, and I know you're busy, and I know that you're doing radio, and you're filling in. How do you do this?
Well, firstly, it helps not having a TV anymore, because I'm out every second night just about in Cape Town. Look, the production values of all of these theatre shows are actually quite high. So at the very least, you're guaranteed a good night out. And sometimes you walk out of there going, well, that's an hour and a half of my life I'll never get back.
Yeah.
But at least it was still, you know, to have the courage to raise the money, to be able to convince a couple of people to act out words from a piece of paper on a stage night in, night out is something that needs to be celebrated on its own, I think. Mm. But, you know, there are some people, and also will back me up here, where you sit through a theater show and you go, okay, that was it. Thankfully, we have very few of those in Cape Town.
Sorry,
by far, the majority of them are pieces that stay with you. I mean, Christoph Schlachter, for example, it's still something that I'll remember for many, many years to come. Mm-hmm. And Amy Jasker nominated for the translation of that piece of work. Mm-hmm. Incredible writing by Laura Foote in Inconvenience of Wings, which is a story basically about a woman who's going through sort of a mental illness and but yet so personal. Both Andrew Buckland and Jennifer Steyn nominated for those for their respective roles in that piece, as is Laura for directing. You get wonderful ensemble pieces like Clydebourne Park, for example, that was shown at the Fugard, The Fall, which took a group of recently graduated drama students from UCT speaking to in contemporary. I mean, we'll remember in the 80s, late 70s, middle 80s, first part of 90s, protest theater was the way to go as far as theater stage is concerned. And these young kids have reminded us of that and the need to have it in South Africa. So you really, the difficulty is in 86 projections deciding which five are going to be nominated. That's really where the difficulty is.
Okay. Yeah. And of course you sometimes see repeat nominations because our industry is quite small. So you see a lot of actors and actresses in different roles, or different, let's say, musical theatre experts in different roles and directors in different roles throughout the year. Which is, again, it's magic because it's showing that the industry is working. The wheel is turning, and there are jobs.
Well, the major difference, I would think, between Cape Town and Johannesburg is that Johannesburg has a very thriving and very successful television broadcasting industry. Mm. Whereas in Cape Town, there are a number of productions that are being produced here for television, but certainly not nearly the number of productions that are produced in Johannesburg. You generally have more international series and movies and commercials, I suppose, in Cape Town. True. So in order for you to be an actor who's able to pay rent at the end of the month, you need to work. Mm. And working means that you are going to be on a stage. So, yes, you have Jennifer Steyn also nominated for A Doll's House, for example. You've got Laura Foote nominated for a direction of Karu Moose. You've got somebody like Barry LaRue, who's a phenomenal, phenomenal costume designer, nominated for two productions in that very same category. And then a phenomenal effort like Jonathan Rocksmith, for example, nominated three times this year, twice in one category.
And one
in a supporting role,
It's going to be a great event. It's the 52nd Fleur de Cup Theatre Awards. It's happening in Cape Town this coming Sunday. Are you looking forward to be on stage with Kathy? let me tell you why I say it. Is at the ladies last year, I had the pleasure of presenting an award with him, and he called me Danny DeVito.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm so short. Because I looked like a little, like a gnome next to him. So he's glamour and gorgeous. But are you looking forward to presenting with him?
I am indeed. He's really become a good friend of mine. He has a beautiful new venue opened up on Bree Street in Cape Town called Gate 69. It's a dinner and review kind of space, and it really just has brought a different kind of energy to the theatre space in that part of town. She is going to be wearing three different outfits, and they're all going to be very glamorous. And I'm looking forward to what will happen. She'll be showing quite a bit of skin, I'm told. Mm. And I've decided, you know what, Africa, you can't compete with that. You really can't. So I'm just going to go demure and understated and, like any good man, boring black on stage and allow her to grab all the attention.
Africa,
It's going to be fun.
She's literally been trying to take me on a date for years. Seriously. She's been trying to take me on a date for years. And I don't know, on Sunday I might just hook up. Let's see what happens, you know. She might just get it from me. I don't know.
She you may be a little kinder to me on this. I really have no clue what's going to come out of her mouth.
But it's so wonderful.
And I'm going to have to be on my toes. Yeah.
It's wonderful, and she is gorgeous, and it's going to be, of course, you've got Matthew Wilde directing it, which is, he's brilliant. And Jason Jacobs as well involved. So you've got a whole team there making this thing absolutely beautiful. The closing thing is that I am, and I want to use Gate 69 as an example, because people in Johannesburg and the publicity for it in Johannesburg, we haven't seen enough of that Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And again, blown away productions that a lot of the country didn't get to see. So at least the Cape is acknowledging the magic that's coming from your city. And I think that has to be mentioned, because that was a phenomenal production. Weird, but phenomenal.
It truly was, because what we know about Hedwig, of course, on Broadway is that it's a boisterous musical, lots of sort of often very small people on stage who are singing and doing all sorts of things. And what they were able to do is literally hone it on these two characters who, you know, actors both have been nominated, and still give you the sense of what watching it on Broadway will be, what would be like. But you know, the joy about, I suppose, stripping any production of all the frills sometimes is that you get to see the real work, which is the music, which is the narrative, which is the story, and which is the acting. And both actors here deserving of their nominations, and looking forward to what will happen on Sunday without a doubt.
Well, Africa, we can't wait to see you on Sunday, see you on that stage. Congratulations for judging. I know radio's going really well. Are you and Sam, you're still doing Saturdays?
No. So
off the scene of it.
No, we were reminded by ICASA, who, as you know, regulates broadcasting industry, that Cape Talk and 702 are two regional stations, and we should reduce the amount of simulcasting. So unfortunately, my wonderful partnership with Sam came to an end. But also, she's busy on TV. She's hosting Married at First Sight, which I think has been commissioned for a second season now. So she's a very busy woman. Her book has been doing incredibly well, and she's been touring and speaking, and she's had a lot of work coming out of that. So she's not on 702 anymore, sadly, after more than two decades of being there. But watch this space. I think she's going to make a big comeback.
Things change constantly. But are you still doing your Saturday breakfast, your weekend breakfast?
I am. So I'm still very much on Weekend Breakfast and Cape Talk between 6 and 10. But you can only hear me on Cape Talk. So if you're in Johannesburg, you can go to capetalk.co.za. Or go to the DSTV audio bouquet.
I think they do broadcast it on the internet as well. So yeah, it's yeah. But still, Africa, you magic. I listen to you often. That side of the world.
Thank you very much. We're
old Prime Media fan. Thank you.
We are all indeed.
We are
one family.
Once the Prime Media family is a dysfunctional one, but it used to be all family. That's the way it goes. Thank you, Africa. That's Africa Milani, and of course, Fleur de Cup Awards happening this week. Ilse Klink, you're my special guest in studio. I mean, this is, again, acknowledgement of theatre is such a cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Born in Cape Town.
Yes.
Where did this love begin? How did this start?
Well, you know, I don't think it's something that I thought about ever. It was something that came naturally. Apparently, my parents tell the story about how I used to imitate people who had come to the front door when I was 4 and 5 years old. You know what I mean? So I think it just happened naturally, and one didn't think about it until I had to go and study something. And I was like, really, what am I good at?
So did they think you were a Jehovah's Witness at first?
Well, I don't know who came to the door, whoever it was, you know. So my parents thought I suppose the spirit had moved me or something. I don't know. When I was a kid, that's what I did. That was my fun.
And then you did your BA drama.
I did. I did indeed at Pretoria University. And then I went off to Bloemfontein and worked there for 2 years. Because, I studied in Afrikaans, which is, you know, my mom's Afrikaans, my dad's English. And I thought, okay, this can work. I know Afrikaans. But, I mean, I must just say that I was just clocking 50% in the theory. And
really?
Absolutely. You know, it is very hard working in Afrikaans.
You just won the Fiesta for Best Actress.
That's right, in Afrikaans. Exactly. But you know what? Afrikaans has been a huge part of my career. It's brought in a lot of work for me, so it's been very advantageous, you know.
I want to throw this into the mix, because firstly, it's so interesting, because you get singers that are singers, actors that are actors.
Right.
Then actors that are also singers.
Yes.
And then you've got actors and singers that are English and Afrikaans.
Right. I think they prefer singer slash actor.
Yeah, you know, all the slashes. And a person of colour. Now, the reason I throw this into the mix is because you can then literally do anything. No, but it's so true.
It is.
It's
you so know what? True. It has been such an advantage.
I mean, I know that you're not a man, but I mean, we could act that up maybe one day.
I believe she could do it.
I think she could actually.
Yeah. Just shut off all your emotions. just uncomplicate your life and then, yeah,
absolutely.
You're a man.
I would find that very hard, but I could try anything.
Now, coming back to, all right, so then the Isidingo is the major break, because that's the thing.
Yeah.
Phenomenal actors and actresses use the stage beautifully, and a lot of people don't get to see it on a mass level.
That's right.
Now, all of a sudden, we get to see you in a little role every single day. On national television, and that's the claim to fame.
Right.
Sadly, or not sadly. How did Vanessa happen?
Well, you know, I don't know. One always imagines yourself doing something or desiring to do something, like being on television. You know, when I had done a few things on television before Isidingo happened. And for me, that was a massive break, because I knew what it would mean, you know, in terms of being able to practice your craft every day. I'm very grateful for the role, and I learned a hell of a lot on Isidingo. I can't say that, you know, I didn't learn anything.
Stage,
it was a small role and that kind of thing. I was able to work with people like Lionel Newton, you know, Robert Whitehead, you know what I mean? These leading theatre personalities. I was able to work with them. And for me, that was a huge advantage. And I'd learned so much over the five and a half years that I was there. So certainly it wasn't any small feat. But
you were not young when you got that role.
I was about 26. Yeah, 26 I mean, or 27. Yeah, yeah. I'd done a couple of things before then. Yeah.
Started your career.
Yeah.
But you because you also did Isidingo.
I did. Yes. I came in
just as I was leaving.
Yes,
yeah, that's right. I think.
So, did you ever perform together?
No. We kind of crossed paths. She was in a very different world. She was with the rich and fabulous, and I was in the
pool. Oh, yeah, you were cleaning up the house.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And I was at Papa G's, which was the down in the dumps that became rich and fabulous.
Yeah.
It was really great to be there. It was fantastic. I enjoyed every minute of it.
My special guest in studio, of course, Ilse Klinken, the co-host, the boy of the moment, Nathan Rowe. We're sitting here in studio. As you know, throughout the show, we invite different guests in, and I have a wonderful chap on the line called Mark Bearer, who has got something interesting that was just launched in the Cape called Game for Humanity. Mark is on the line because it was all over Ryan O'Connor's show and all over the Cape radio stations, and now there's the first time he's probably coming to Johannesburg. Mark, he's working hugely with homeless people. His beautiful girlfriend works very closely with him. He's Kerry McGregor. And Mark, welcome to the show. Are you there?
Morning, Al. How are you doing?
Good, good. Game for Humanity.
First things first, Tracy McGregor.
I mean, Tracy.
McGregor.
Ooh, what's wrong, McGregor?
What about Neil McKenzie? He must be upset about this.
Mark, so sorry. So I'm McGregor that incorrect.
You really McGregor that one.
I know various McGregors. I get them wrong all the time.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Too many. I'm blushing. This is quite a bit. And usually my intros are much better than that.
Are you trying to say we're all the same, Alan?
Mark.
Yes.
Game for Humanity. Please send Tracy McGregor, my love.
I certainly shall do.
Tell me about it.
So Game for Humanity, I wanted to come up with a concept which encouraged random acts of kindness between the community members. Mm-hmm. So it's a pack of 30 cards, each with their own task, which are quite easily to be complete. Mm-hmm. And each task, once completed, is given to the recipient of that task and expected for them to continue with the good deed. So simple things like buying someone a coffee, saying hello to everybody today, reading an elderly person a book, or giving someone a hug. Just simple things that we all should be doing more often on a daily basis that don't take much effort, but can certainly impact the day of someone else's besides our own.
Mark, I wanted just for the listeners and for people that are tuned in to tell you a bit about this guy. This man, Mark Bearer, did something incredible. He decided one day, without telling many people, to go and spend, was it 7 days?
Yeah, 7 days and seven nights.
7 days and seven nights with nothing but his clothing, left his house to live on the streets of Cape Town during winter. Sure. Without a cent in his pocket.
Sure.
Mark, an unbelievable experience. I think the only thing you might have had on you, if I might be mistaken, did you have a knife?
I did.
The only thing you had, just in case someone killed him.
Yeah, like all homeless.
No, but seriously, the only thing you had on him was a knife.
Mm.
And he had to go down to the Salt River to wash in the Salt River at one point in time. He had people that were very close to him because he's a well-known philanthropist, well-known entrepreneur and well-known model, walked straight past him in the street, didn't know who he was, wouldn't give him, he asked them for money and they just walked straight past him.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting environment. I grew my beard for 6 months.
Mm. Right.
And then one random Monday morning left the comfort of my own home and decided I just wanted to understand more about life on the streets and what unfortunate position the homeless folk were experiencing.
And this
I think the only way to do it was to put myself directly in their
shoes.
Their position. Mm.
And I mean, a lot of his friends didn't know. Most people didn't know Mark. You just got up one day.
No one knew.
He catalogued it on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it was a very interesting social experiment, but learning experience. And I think I tell you, because we see it now with the CEO sleep out. I've done it for one day and it's crazy.
Yeah.
One night.
Yeah.
Let alone seven. And remember, you have nothing. A cent in your pocket.
Yeah.
Your clothes on your back. You're begging for money. You're begging for food.
Yeah.
Mark, you ate from dustbins. Am I right? At one point, you were
so
hungry.
Yeah, I had to. I think you were so hungry. The most difficult part was actually making eye contact and begging at robots because I think we're all too proud.
Mm.
And we're often in the position where we would drive at a robot and the homeless person has got their sign and we roll up our windows and we pull the car an extra 2 meters forward.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it's the most demoralizing thing to experience, that another human just either chooses to ignore you or just doesn't choose to give you any attention. You don't expect R5 or R2 or R1 from everyone, but just eye contact and a simple hello, how are you, how can I help kind of scenario. Just opening a conversation or a dialogue
and
person a sandwich
and Mark, you are a businessman, you are a top socialite in Cape Town, you were a top model at a point in time, I mean, and all of a sudden to be in the midst of all of these people that know you and with you and your beautiful girlfriend and to be and have everyone ignore you because you have grown your beard and you're just homeless, but I mean incredible experience. Are you still raising money through that initiative?
Yes, we still raise money through that initiative and Dare to Share, my registered non-profit organization. At the moment, we obviously got our hands full with the unfortunate fires that wreaked havoc in Hout Bay. So we're busy with logistics, looking after just over 200 families that were misplaced there. But besides that, we do have our day-to-day responsibilities with the 33 charities that we support. And at the moment also, we've taken upon the responsibility of looking after 59 families on an ongoing basis with their food, clothing, toiletries.
It's incredible people. Absolutely.
Yeah, so these are all just day-to-day activities that we choose to involve ourselves in to make the world a better place. And obviously Game for Humanity is one of these initiatives, which I hope just inspire appreciation of humanity and kindness to others.
Firstly, what I love about it is because I'd love to sit around the family table and say, pick a card. How many cards are there, Mark?
There are 30 cards in every pack.
So you pick a card, and this week you've got to do that on a Wednesday, for example. Let's say we're having family supper on a Monday. Mm. And you pick a card that says you've got to give... make a sandwich for two people today. I don't know what all the cards are.
Or you could just do it for a month by yourself and then pass
using
the deck on.
Each card, that is very good. Mark, how do we get the cards? How does it work?
Well, the cards, they are available. I mean, the concept's pretty new. I only started it towards the end of last year. The distribution side of things, obviously, we've got an online store on our e-commerce site, which is www.gameforhumanity.com.
Mm-hmm.
There is a stockist list on there. We've partnered with VDE Cafe, and there are selected stores in Johannesburg which do stock the cards.
Great.
At the moment, we're looking for, obviously, additional retailers who are interested. And the nice thing about this game is that absolutely anybody can become a retailer if you've got a point of sale.
Yeah,
it's a small stand, which is like 20 centimeters by 8 centimeters or something.
In the box
on your
of cards.
And the box of cards.
What do they sell for? What do they sell for, Marky?
The boxes retail for R100.
I mean,
that's not
at all outlets.
Yeah, and that's... I love this. I think it is so cool. I'm gonna go.
Saw it at the Vita at the airport.
Did you see it?
Yeah, you know, there's another game called Cards Against Humanity.
Against Humanity. Yes, it was. Yeah.
And I also thought, got confused. It must be similar.
I did. It's not
glad,
that game.
Yeah, I'm glad to know it's completely different.
Primarily to do the complete opposite, which they make a lot of fun of. Sexism, racism, victimization, etc. And this, I wanted to come up with something which was identical opposites and promotes each of those things.
Yeah, what I love about it so much is that, I mean, every time something bad happens in the world, I always think that if you do anything good, just wherever you do it, it kind of fills that void that the evil left there. So I think this is going to really change the world. I really do believe that.
Mark, I think it's superb, and I just wanted you to know that we're gonna punt it. We're gonna do it. We're actually gonna get a pack. We gotta get a pack.
I'll go get a pack today.
Go get a pack, and then next week we're gonna start to we're gonna practice the pack.
Perfect.
And I don't know one thing if I may highlight on, which I mean, this is the first edition of Game for Humanity, which we've conceptualized. But at the end of the month, I have an edition coming up, which is the school edition, which I think is going to be vital in South African schooling and education system, which are tasks aimed at kids in schools aged 8 to 15, which promote appreciation of education, a lot of anti-bullying tasks, anti-racism tasks. And I think that's really going to do well within a schooling environment.
Give us a few examples. Give us some of those cards. Okay, so the cards that we're going to get,
the
school cards,
standing up when greeting a female or a lady, learning to say hello, how are you in another language, learning a word from the dictionary that you will use today in class, making a no bullying at the school sign for your notice board, buying a fellow scholar something at a tuck shop.
This is how you change the world.
Absolutely.
Basic small things that these kids should be focusing on rather than bullying in a hierarchy in an environment where everyone should be benefiting.
If these things become habits, then imagine what wonderful people these kids are going to turn into.
This is exactly where you need to start.
Yeah.
You know, this is exactly where you need to start, because I think that education is all about, you know, feeding the brain, you know, facts and figures. And we just need to be kind to each other. Mm. You know, I see that with my son who's 11 years old at school. You know, it's important and we forget about it.
It doesn't hurt you if you have a tired of giving R5 in your car to a person that's homeless on the side of the road, to at least nod at him and say, sorry, I can't. They are a human being.
Yes, but that's the thing.
That's the thing.
If we start seeing each other as part of ourselves, you know, I think that's so
important. That's how you can...
Because we're seeing ourselves as separate from each other in humanity, when in fact we are all part of the same energy, you know.
Marky, I cannot wait. We're getting a pack. We're doing it. This is going to be really cool, and I'm going to actually buy quite a few packs and hand them out. They've got to do stuff.
Yeah.
This is really cool stuff, Mark. And I must tell you, I'm going to start popping it into like when Ruda and I are on a shoot. Ruda, come here. There's your new pack. Go and do it. No, because everybody's got to.
It's fantastic.
That's how we change the world.
Absolutely.
That's how we change it.
Absolutely.
And it's Game for Humanity. www.gameforhumanity.com. Marky, thank you for joining us. We'll be following.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
We'll be connecting. I know you're in a board meeting. Go back to it.
Great.
Cheers, Marcus.
Have a great day. Thank
Cheers,
you,
Marcus Aurelius, my friend. This is that is brave.
Yes, wow.
Guys,
absolutely.
In winter to get up out of your house.
Yeah.
I think the only person that knew was Tracy.
Yeah.
And tell her, bye. Not his mom, not his dad. Just take a knife and strap it to your sock and walk out the house and spend it's 8 days on the streets.
Yeah.
With not a cent in your pocket. And if I'm not mistaken, he didn't eat breakfast that morning.
So
at one point he said he was so hungry, he was digging in the trash bin.
Wow.
And then he made friends with other homeless people who was helping him. And they were sharing bread and sharing food. And then he went, I mean, isn't it?
It's insane. I mean, no, that's
incredible.
Beautiful.
It's
beautiful.
Incredible.
And the thing is, you know what I mean? When he was speaking to you, it all of a sudden, it became real to me.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because you're right. It is that thing about, you know, at every single robot you stop, there's somebody that needs your help. You know, and what do we do? What do we do as Joburgers? I'm not going to speak about the rest of the country.
I do.
Absolutely. That is the reality.
And when I shouted at someone yesterday. I shat them out because they sprayed. I just had the car wash and they sprayed that stupid spray on my windscreen to clean my windscreen. And you know what? I wanted to go crazy. But you know, that person's trying.
Right.
They're hungry. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay.
And you know what's interesting also for me is that it's men. It's young men. Do you know what I mean? So when I sit in my car and I go, hang on, I'm a single mom of two kids. Yeah. They're young men on the street begging. I want to know what's going on there. Is it?
I agree.
What is going on there? Do people not? You know, we're locked in poverty.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the reality of the situation. Around, we are locked into poverty. So you go, it's interesting for me. I'd like to know what.
But I also find it's very mood dependent. I mean, if I'm in a foul mood, I will do that. I won't make eye contact with them.
Yeah.
If I'm quite emotional, I also find I don't like to make eye contact, because it's actually just to stop at every robot and see someone suffering like that is actually just too much to bear. But like listening to Mark talk now, it really makes you want to stop and just acknowledge acknowledge people.
Yeah, it brings it home, yeah.
Because if that's enough to, do whatever that helps them, if that just acknowledgement can help their esteem, I think that's important. You should do it.
You've had many roles.
Right.
In your life. Okay. My special guest is Ilse Klink.
There's one I'm dying to ask her about.
Please go. Go for it. Go.
As a bilingual person.
Yes.
When you named your band.
Extra Dick.
Extra Dick. Now.
Yes.
You know how I read that as a soti?
Yeah.
I read it as... Extra Dick. And I was like, what?
Why would they call it that?
What a provocative band name.
Look, I didn't choose the name, right? But I must say that it did involve
extra
something
dick.
Like that.
Extra Dick.
Yeah, Extra Dick. So it's Afrikaans, but it did involve a pack of
condoms. So if you were an English band, it would be called...
Extra
girth or something.
I guess so.
Yeah, okay.
I guess so. It had nothing to do with the actual appendage.
Do you see what he does? Like,
it had nothing to do with the actual appendage, but it was written on a box of condoms.
Okay.
It was extra thick.
Oh,
you know, it's extra thin for pleasure.
Right.
It is extra thick, dick,
for
which is
protection. If you have 14 kids already and you just want to make sure. Yeah.
Well, for less pleasure, I think, because it was Afrikaans alternative band, we weren't going to go with extra thin for pleasure. We were going to go with extra dick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is less pleasurable.
Less pleasurable.
Is the band still going?
No. We stopped quite a while ago. We had some amazing original songs. But what we were told by distributors and by the powers that be is that we're not quite sure how to box you. You know what I mean? Even though
you should have said in an extra thick box.
And Durex could have been the sponsor.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done.
Indeed.
Alan and I, we're actually marketing geniuses. Everyone who comes here, we give them advice on how to market their brand.
Exactly. We've done some very clever things.
We gave some great ideas to Claudia Henkel the other day.
I know. Brilliant stuff.
And Jessica.
Jessica, yeah.
So now it's in an extra thick box.
So get the band back.
The band, yeah. But you love music. You love singing.
I absolutely. You know what? My favorite singing genre is actually rock.
Really?
I really love singing rock. Yeah.
Okay.
And one hardly ever gets the opportunity to do
what
that.
What rock do you sing?
Oh my God. I've got a feeling. Let's go. I've got a feeling deep inside. Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah. It's a Beatles song.
Yes,
I got a feeling that everybody knows. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Is that too loud?
No. Okay. I've got this sound. But
stuff like that.
You must sing another one because we'd like to put it on this Facebook thing.
Oh really? Oh my goodness. What is it?
What a cool soul rock.
How
voice,
cool is that voice? Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You
and this
rock
is what
like
I enjoy singing.
Mustang
You've done a few
Savvy.
Musicals.
Yeah. I have indeed. I've sustained my entire
you
career
were Mama
in musicals.
In Chicago.
Yes,
that is
of course.
Great. Yeah.
Was...
When You're Good to Mama in Chicago.
Oh, I love that song. Give it to you. Dun, 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 dun. Sorry.
Got a little motto. Always sees me through. When you're good to Mama, Mama's good to you. There's a lot of favors I'm prepared to do, Alan. You do one for Mama, she'll do one for you.
I love that song. Hey? I play with my man boobs when I feel
it. Yeah. Isn't it that fantastic? You know what I was doing? Yesterday, I was actually singing that song in my car. And I live a little bit in my head and my imagination. And I started singing the song. And I had to go and fetch my son from school. And I got out of the car still singing, completely unaware of the masses of people around me.
Did the headmaster
and
come?
I started doing the moves. It was crazy. It was insane. I had to stop myself.
Madam, please stop grabbing your bosoms in front of the children.
It's really not polite.
But it wasn't quite
right
that. But you know what I mean? So I live a bit in my own head. And it was strange that you would bring that up right now. And yesterday I was doing that.
Oh, whole. I love it.
Yeah. I would love to see her. You didn't ever do We'll Rock You, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I was very pregnant. I was very pregnant at the time of the audition.
Vicky Sampson, I think, did.
That's right. She did.
But yeah, you also would have nailed it. Just your voice is so perfect.
Your favorite theatre role you've been in terms of musical? Or
well, musical theatre, it was Mama Morton. You know what I mean? It was just being a part of that spectacular show was just such a privilege, you know. And I think that was the first major musical I actually did in Johannesburg. You know, it was the first. It was when the international musicals were coming along. Yes, that was the beginning of that era, you know. And that was truly, truly exciting. What a fabulous role. And you know, of course, that the woman who played Velma Kelly, Emma Faye Wright, does it on Broadway.
On Broadway,
you know what I mean?
And in the West, she's phenomenal.
Yeah, she's on Broadway. She's on Broadway. She did do it on the West End as well. But
I saw on the West End. It was incredible. Before it came here.
And from the South African production, she had then gone on to Broadway.
Well, which is incredible.
I know. I mean, it's just incredible. I think it should be brought back.
Well, it will come back because the thing is that a lot of the, once you've done like Joseph, it's five years, it comes back.
Yes.
I mean, that Hairspray, I think Richard might bring Hairspray.
Joseph Clark or Joseph Technicolor Dreamcoat?
Which is on it?
both in the same one.
Oh, when you get to Mama.
Worked with him. He's incredible. Joseph Clark. He's just absolutely incredible. Yeah.
I just, before we go on, because we're going to have some fun now in the studio. We're going to play, sing some songs. You've made a plan for Ilse.
Oh my goodness. We've got things
planned. But very, very quickly, I just want to tell you quite a cool little thing also happened this weekend, last week in the Cape. They opened the new Toho Sun, and the Cape Sun happened to open their new spot. I've got Chan Singh, the GM of the new Sun Square in Cape Town. How are you doing, Chan?
Very well, thanks. How are you doing?
Good. We're having fun and singing songs in this musical entertainment show called The Unview.
Oh, well. I was loving it. I was listening to it on the air right now.
Good. Don't worry. These people can perform. We can open it. When we open the hotel, we bring them in. Don't worry. It's magic.
Absolutely. We're going to have a huge party in September, aren't we?
It's so cool. And I'm so happy you're opening more of these. Well, you know, the first thing is that Dave van Straten's no longer with the Soccer Sun Group, but it's great to see that your hotels have got such good restaurants that are opening up. And I know it's linked closely to the MasterChef brand back in the day, but when it first started. But yeah, what do we expect from this new hotel?
Yeah, we're going to have two hotels in that complex. There's going to be a Stay Easy, which is basically a no-fuss hotel, but with making sure all the basics are covered, so we have a great bed, a great shower experience, but at a reasonable price point. And on the other side, we'll have the Sun Square, which is one of our modern city hotels, and with one of our signature restaurants, which is called Vegan Verve.
Okay, cool. What is that? What's that restaurant?
A little bit about it. It's an all-day dining a la carte restaurant, but with very fresh concepts. So simple things like we will have a proper wood-fired, old-style pizza oven in there.
Okay, so
and everything is going to be locally sourced. And to top it all off, on the 18th floor, we're going to have a rooftop bar.
Oh, we love rooftop bars. They're dangerous. We fall off the roof.
I mean, with the views we've got of Table Mountain, Signal Hill and the harbour, what better place to spend it?
Well, Chan, we look forward to being there and coming to the launch. I know that's going to be lots of fun. I know you had a big celebrity. You had the deputy mayor. You had all the well-known Capetonians at the launch last week. But again, Soho Sun always doing great stuff. If it's not helping with chefing and feeding and you know, doing stuff for rugby and for sports, it's always good to see that you guys are on top of the ball.
Oh, thank you. And we believe in Cape Town, so we believe this is going to be a great success here.
Well, of course, Cape Town is... It's very Cape Town orientated show today, I must tell you. But, Chan, thank you for joining us. And, we hope that it rocks and all. The new Sun Square opens in Cape Town. It's in the CBD. Look after yourself.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate.
I look
Cheers.
Forward to it.
Cheers. Cheers. We'll be there. That's great. Thank you very much, Chan Singh.
Really
from
is it?
Tsoko Sun.
Cape Townian themed show.
I know, how cool. Although Afrika Milani.
Elsa's been all over. I mean, I know you were born, born in Cape Town.
But then you went. I'm from Mitchell's Plain.
Studied in Pretoria, then you went to Bloem.
Yes,
have you ever done
I worked
Durban?
In Bloem. My sister lived in Durban.
Oh, that counts.
No, I haven't.
Who does
there.
Durban?
I do Durban.
I love Durban.
I'm doing Durban this weekend.
Are you?
Is it?
Yeah.
What are you doing there?
What are you doing?
You're singing.
I'm just going to go and sit on a beach. And
really?
Look at the waves. Yeah,
isn't that
or
wonderful?
The tsunamis, as has happened lately.
Oh dear, yeah, don't get washed away.
So if there's something left, I'm going to go sit on it.
Now, so you see, I love him to sing. He's one of my favourite singers, really.
Yes.
He's a swinger. I mean, not a croon.
A swinger, what kind of swinger?
Not a swinger, a singer.
A crooner swinger, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
You
know,
a crooner matata.
Have you ever done swinging, by the way? The other one with the keys.
The keys? No, I've never done
that. I'm
just
asking the question.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I mean,
are you blushing?
No.
You don't have to be worried about it.
It takes a lot of blush. No.
I'm joking. What if you? I mean, what if you? How do you choose based on the key? Like, oh, this is a nice BMW. But then, what if the BMW driver is actually a Toyota Taz? You know what I mean? Like, how does that work?
Please
explain it to me, because I don't know anything about that little world.
I don't know how it works.
Let me explain.
Go.
So basically, what happens is people have parties. It's a couples.
Yes.
So couples all come, usually married couples.
Yes.
Very obscure.
And they sit around and they drink, and then they put their keys in a fishbowl. I don't know if they still do that.
But who picks the key, the girl or the boy?
That's where the keys
I don't know.
Come
Everyone
from.
Just
okay,
grab,
okay.
grabs a key out, and yes. then you go home with that person. And
no. Do you actually go home with it?
You go to the
house? I leave my wife behind.
Well, in movies I've seen of late, they just kind of all hang out in the same room. And
oh, so they have a menage a deux.
That's why I think they've done away with the keys. They just kind of, I don't know what they
so
do.
So basically they just all want to get it on.
I think they just blindfold each other and go for it.
Oh,
it's like pin the tail on the donkey, imagine. But
I'm an
you know,
emotional being. Well, I don't think I can do that. I need to have some sort of connection.
A guy called Rick Emden
yes.
invited John Burks and I to a swingers club.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. And
are you sure it wasn't swingers in Cape Town?
No. It was a swingers club. It was actually called the Marquee in Israel. And John Burks is very, very like, oh, chubby. No, that's, doesn't look too clearly. No. chubby, be careful. I'm like 21 going, oh my God, what the hell just happened? Yeah, so he says, we've taken a tour, but we guess because you're not allowed to come in as a single man. Single
right.
woman can come. But
not single men.
Not single men. So couples and single women.
Right.
And we get, but obviously we're not going to partake in the menage or whatever. But I tell you, I saw some things that I still cannot get.
You
out
were
my
21.
Brain.
You were innocent.
But I still wouldn't do that.
Sure.
I have a very simple policy.
Yes.
Don't touch my things.
Right. Okay.
Don't touch my things.
Right.
Like
so if I see someone touching my things,
right.
meaning including that,
no.
okay, I don't mind someone touching my thing.
I was wondering which
you
things.
Can touch my thing, but I mean like...
Don't
touch things that belong
to me. Attached to me.
Exactly. You got it. So do you get what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah, sorry. That's our sort. Don't
touch
mine.
It's like possessive.
Huh? Don't touch my... that's why you belong to me. You're mine.
Ooh,
you're not going anywhere.
Well, you do a favour for mama.
Mama's good to you. So again, a phenomenal career that you've
had. Yes, yes.
And then, of course, we look at now going back to Afrikaans stage.
Right.
And the piece that you just did, playing a somewhat sangoma, not sangoma is the wrong word, it's clairvoyant.
She is a bit of a clairvoyant, yes. Mm. And what it is actually was an adaptation from Brecht's Mother Courage. Mm. It was Mother Courage adapted into Mitchell's Plain in the 80s and prior to the 80s. And it was just like it took a span of 30 years in this woman's life, you know what I mean? And she has this cart that she walks around with, and she's got kids. She's got three kids, and she deals with people taking dick and all kinds of drugs, you know, selling things to her. So, I mean, it was an absolutely gutsy, incredible role to play. And it was the first one I had done in years. So it is very... It's
your first, this type of drama piece.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. The last time I'd done something, I'd never done anything like that, actually, in my career. So it really took a lot out of me, you know, physically, sure. Mentally, emotionally. It was insane. It was absolutely insane.
Well, I did see... You played a part of it. I didn't get to see that. Right. I didn't go to the festivals.
Yes,
to that particular festival. Yes. And it's because they're so interesting. The Afrikaans market is brilliant because they support the local theatre a majority of the time.
That's
at
right.
The festivals.
That's right.
Okay, so they go throughout the
country.
So I got to see that piece, which was probably about a 5 or 6 minute piece that you did for us.
Very small. And I was like...
But that was crazy because I thought, has Ilse lost her mind? What is she doing? Obviously, I didn't know what...
It's very hard to take... Context, yes, exactly. It was completely out of context. But I mean, that was just... one of the simpler things we did in the show, you know what I mean? There was, I mean, this woman's kids die, all three of them die, you know, and she denies them. She was like a little like Judas, you know, who denies that the kids are hers.
Those three that are in the scene with you, they all
die. That's right. Okay. That's right. You know what I mean? That's the one thing she's trying to do is to keep her kids alive. And in fact, she is the cause of their deaths.
Wow.
She's just an ice cold mother who never learns anything throughout the 30 years. You know, she just remains the same person, cold, hard.
So what's the character arc then for you if you remain cold and hard?
Well, you know what I mean? So what she does, so she goes through all of the experiences of losing her children, but still she doesn't change.
Wow.
In terms of these experiences have not moved her in any way to be a better human. Sure. After her first child dies, she doesn't really change much.
It is a tragedy, hey?
It is indeed, and that is why it's so you know, heart-wrenching, is because this woman remains who she is to the end.
Did you utilize all the Brechtian techniques? You said it was based on is it very kind of
the silent cry? Yes.
Break the fourth wall.
Yes, we did. We did indeed. Staging. We did indeed. We brought the audience back every time, saying we would line up before every scene and then go into the scene.
Wow. Okay.
And then in the middle of the silent cry, I would stop and look up at the audience and just go, "Hey, this is theatre. This is not, don't get emotionally involved. This is theatre." And then step back into the line and start the next scene, you know.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of that. Brilliant. There were a lot of Brechtian elements.
Are you familiar with the Brechtian techniques there, Alan Ford?
I'm learning.
Yeah. It's actually quite amazing.
His
whole theory was that he wanted people to know that they were watching
theatre,
not reality.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and you have to break it with, it's almost like the narrator going... someone just not a part of it, just saying, please note, this is a theatre piece. Yeah.
Don't get involved. Don't cry. Don't get emotional. We are acting. We are actors.
Okay.
Which is, you know, it's a
so
bit of a
different,
yes. Wow. Yeah.
I've seen it used in so many different ways as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the way people try and break the, because you do that. What they do is it's almost like a tease. You know, they tease you into the story and then they break it.
Mm.
It's quite.
It's jarring.
It's awkward to watch.
Can I get involved emotionally? No, I can't. They said I couldn't. You know what I mean? So you have this constant internal dialogue as well.
Imagine as a woman watching that, it must be even worse. You're like, I don't know what to do with my emotions.
Wow, sexist, eh?
Yeah.
We can't control ourselves.
No, I know you can.
Is it?
But I can't. But I was raised by women.
But there was a huge award. I mean, really, because you up with the best.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because it was like, did you see it coming?
Well,
is the best part. This is the, if I may.
Yes, please do.
The fiestas are so beautiful.
Yes.
And people really dress up. And it's, you know, I want to just say people need to learn more manners from these people that go to this type of awards, because there's no slouching. There's no, you sit there, you clap, you're quiet, you do not talk. It's a proper, full-on television production included in a theatre show or in a production on stage. And it's a level of respect that I think theatre should be at, or every event should be at, actually.
Right.
This is not a rugby game where you should woo-hoo-hoo type of thing. But, and they announce the winner, and Ilse runs on stage dressed in her... in the outfit.
In my day frock.
in the day frock with a duck on your head. You were like...
No, wait, that didn't happen, man. I'll tell you how to...
Ellen's making it.
Ellen's making it. I'll tell you what happened. I was standing backstage because we hadn't done it.
You were about to do it.
It was really bad planning, actually. You know what I mean? And you're just thrown into the whole thing. I was asked to perform at the awards. I said, great, fantastic. And what they did was they put my piece just before the award was going to be announced, just after the award was going to be announced. Oh, wow. Now, can you imagine I lost and I would have to do this piece after they told me that you hadn't won the award? But anyway, nobody was thinking. It was just a rush trying to put this production together. And I was beforehand, I thought, how am I going to, I'm not going to wear my costume. If anything happens, I would have to go onto stage in this, literally this awful costume.
Awful.
I mean, it's broken.
It's a broken costume.
It's a broken costume. This woman's got a duck on her head. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So you're talking about how fabulous everyone looks.
A little bit dirty. You know what I mean? And everybody who had won awards that evening had not performed. So they were dressed in their three-piece suit and their beautiful frocks.
The blonde lady. Because she also ran on stage.
Yes.
To get her award.
She was in the
scene right after. Yes, exactly. She ran to get her award.
It's crazy. It was crazy. So what we did was, I said, okay, I am not going to walk into this awards or be remembered or to be documented in these awards
on live television
costume.
Eh?
So before everything started with the blue carpet, because you know that CakeNet has the blue carpet, so I dressed up and I put on makeup and I did the blue carpet. So at least there was one photograph of me looking decent, right? And then I started working, because then I did a piece from Heidi, which was a song as the grandmother.
Yes, I know.
I was like, yeah, listen, I'm coming to these awards. I flew in from Johannesburg. I'm at least going to earn something here. You know what I mean? If I don't win the award, I'm going to earn some money for working that night, because what's the point? So I did that piece and then I had a long break and then it was the award and I thought, oh my goodness, I can't put the gown on and then try and do a quick change into my costume.
You wore black.
What I had worn that day was like a black shift dress and slip slops. So
my
what
hair
happened?
My hair
wasn't done. It was like ready to have a duck put on.
Live TV,
so
live. The main award.
So my fellow cast members are standing there with my quick change outfit, which is the frot rok and the duck and the what. They're standing behind the screen like this, ready to put costumes on me. And we're standing there. And they announce the award, and I come out from behind the curtain.
Yeah,
grab the award, and I say, I do my little speech.
Which was quick, actually, because you had to get back.
Because I had to get back. And then I ran off stage, handed my award to some random person backstage,
hopefully.
I was like, please, just hold on to this for me. But what happened was, television didn't see it, but the audience saw it.
Oh, wow.
But what was fantastic is that the audience completely understand the quick change, the concept of the quick change. So that was fantastic. Ran out, dropped the award, got into quick change mode, put on the duck, put on the dress, and the curtain goes up and I start performing.
Wow. You know, you mentioned you'd go backstage and do interviews, there's journalists waiting for you.
Yes.
Hold my award, let me just do this thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was quite a fabulous.
Would have been great if you were still holding your award while doing the
piece.
Yeah, that would have been.
Because I would have been attached to it. Yeah. It's crazy.
So you've prepared something.
Actually, we've prepared something.
Oh, have we?
Yes.
Okay, where is it?
Oh, let me get it for you.
Okay, we prepared.
Are we playing some sort of game?
I don't know.
Unless we should involve her.
I think we should involve everybody. This is cliffcentral.com. My name is Alan Ford. Nathan Rowe is obviously co-ing with me. And then our special guest is Ilse Klink, a well-known actress, Vanessa from
Isidingo.
And of course, been on stage and from all the productions in the world. Now, what is this now? What am I doing? Oh, my goodness. Oh, I didn't prepare.
No, didn't you prepare?
No, I didn't prepare. I've been away.
Are you serious? We spoke about this last week, Alan.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I know I'm always late, but
okay,
at least
I'm
prepared.
I'm sorry. I didn't prepare. Let's just see. Let me see if I can do this all. I don't know. Where are the words? You're supposed to print them out.
You said you knew them.
I can show you the world. Shining, shimmering, splendid.
When did you last let your heart decide?
I can open your eyes, take you wonder by wonder, over sideways
that
and under
suspect.
On a magic carpet ride, a whole new world, a new fantastic point of view.
Hands that from way up up here. It's crystal clear. It's very
now
high.
Now I'm in a whole new world with you.
That's wrong.
You're supposed to go, it's you now.
Days I never knew. But now from way up here, it's crystal clear.
Couldn't prepare.
But now I'm in a whole new world.
Now I'm
in a whole new world with you.
Unbelievable sights.
Yes, well done.
Indescribable feelings. Soaring, tumbling, three-wheeling on a magic carpet ride.
A whole new world.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
A dazzling place.
Hold your breath, it gets better.
But now from way up.
You haven't
only line, I know.
Crystal clear that now we're in a whole new world. New world.
Yeah. My goodness.
Okay,
yeah,
so
it's just going to let
the... No, you see
so what is it that you do?
So what are we doing is we're trying to work out... We're working on a internal Unview musical.
Right.
A whole new world. A whole new world. That's where we'll be.
That's where we'll be.
A thrilling space.
A dazzling face.
For you and me.
And I'm not a singer.
No, see, this is what I wanted to do because you always surprise me.
Is that what you do?
You're like, just sing something.
Because I make him sing stuff.
Yeah, so
please, can I be cast in this musical?
You're going to love it.
Please.
Of course. We've got Jessica and Corsi.
Did you hear how she nailed that?
I know. We've got Ilse Kling. This is going to be, we're going to do like this crazy musical, like the weirdest thing. And I found something very interesting we're going to do next week. And that's from a musical with Angela Lansbury. And it's called Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, Murder, She Wrote the Musical.
It's exciting. I love it already.
Ilse, what can we expect from you? What is happening in your life? And
right.
Tell us all about
it. I'm going to be doing Pinocchio, which is the big pantomime, yes, at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So I'm playing Die Blue Fairy. The Blue Fairy, Bobolina Blue Fairy, and we are going to be running at the Joburg Theatre as per usual from the 2nd of, the 2nd of November to the 31st of December. Yeah.
And it's yourself, you've got Andre Swartz, you've got Toby Cronier.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
And of course, it's Janice Honeyman and Bernard Jay. It's at the Johannesburg Theatre.
That's right.
Panto is going to be massive.
It's going to be fantastic.
Pinocchio.
It's my first one. I'm so excited.
We're going to get you back on closer to the time with the
cast. Yes, you must.
I want everybody in here. Then we're going to do like another part of our new musical.
Wonderful.
We're preparing it to 2018.
We need to do something from Pinocchio.
Absolutely, we must.
When you wish upon a star. Oh, that is Pinocchio.
Makes no difference who you are.
When you wish. Give us some more.
When you wish upon a star, dreams come true. Ooh. Oh, Pinocchio.
Oh,
it's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be really, really great.
I'm a real boy. Yes, we know.
Ilse Kling, run. Go wild. I'll see you at the Fleur de Cup.
Fantastic.
Go win, because we'll have you on the show next week on the line.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yeah, be fantastic.
Nathan, love you, baby. Thank you. Thanks for doing that to me.
A pleasure. Pleasure. I'm so glad I got to hear Elsa sing like that.
It's
stunning. You should really look into like Disney princesses and things like that.
I think I'm a little bit old for a princess.
Well,
I'll have to be the queen.
The queen.
The sexy Disney mom, then. I had a bit of a crush on the mother in Rapunzel.
Okay, we're gonna discuss your different crushes later.
Okay.
We have to close the show.
Okay. Is it that time already?
Cheers, everybody. This is The Unview. Please be safe. Have a good week. My name is Alan Ford, and of course, it's The Unview, and it's the thin, the rich, and the fabulous.
The Unview. The thin, the rich, and the fabulous on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.